And let's pray one more time as we come to this last section of the book of Isaiah 40. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege, as we've been praying, of being in your word over these last 24 hours. And we pray, Heavenly Father, your Spirit would continue to be our teacher, and you would train us in hope of you. Even as we leave here, we pray that we might be strengthened in our desire to look to you in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're thinking about the question, does God care this morning? That's the question we're focusing on. Does God care? I found myself a couple of years ago driving from France to England. My brother-in-law had got married, and we were driving back to London. And driving through France was probably the most scariest experience I've ever had. It was pouring down with rain. The visibility was about half a metre in front of the car. And for some reason, French roads don't seem to be very much like English roads. The line markings just don't seem to be there. The cat's eyes just aren't there. And of course, it's pretty hilly, unlike England, so you're going up and down. And I was following another car, which seemed committed to having his foot down on the floor, so that I was desperately trying to keep up with him when I just couldn't see a thing. And it felt like I was just driving with a blindfold on an ice rink. That's what it kind of felt like. Really, really scary. And I just thought, I'm not going to make it. That was what was going on in my mind. I'm just not going to make it. And sometimes the Christian life can feel a little bit like that. In the middle of our circumstances, we can think to ourselves, I can't see how I'm going to make it to the end. I can't see how I'm going to make it through today, let alone getting to the end. And we've been thinking over the last day or so about God as this Rambo shepherd, this God who's committed, as we've been praying even this morning, to getting us home to heaven, even when we face the mess and struggle of everyday life, even when we feel like we're not going to make it. And the last couple of sections that we've looked at in Isaiah, in a sense, they address the questions that we have when we hear that. When we hear God is going to get you to heaven, there are a couple of questions that come into our minds. And it's as if these last two parts of Isaiah, they address those very questions. And we get them summarised in verse 27 and 28. Have a look down at verse 27. God says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel," in other words, people of God, "why are you saying and thinking, my way is hidden from the Lord? Do you know?" That's what we thought about yesterday in the second talk. Do you know what's going on? You know, I was saying in the group yesterday how every 6 months or so I find myself completely debilitated with it hasn't been diagnosed yet, but I find that there are a lot of medics in this room, so you can begin to think as I tell you this, but I find myself just vomiting for about a week, up at 3 in the morning, over the toilet bowl, vomiting. And I'm thinking to myself as that's happened, you know, God, do you know you're able to make a difference in this situation in my life? And the answer that we've been seeing, the answer that we saw yesterday was yes. He knows what's going on in the detail of our life, and he's able to make a difference because he's sovereign, because he knows everything. It's the answer that gets repeated there for us in verse 28. Do you see it? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. If his understanding is one that no one can fathom, does he know what's going on in those circumstances in our life? Answer. Yeah. One more there. Thank you. He does, doesn't he? If he's the God who, verse 28, is the creator of the ends of the earth, and will never grow tired or weary, is he strong enough to act in those circumstances that we face? Answer?
Yes.
Great, we're getting better. We're getting better. He knows everything. He created everything. So you see, what we looked at in verses 10 and 11 of this Rambo shepherd who has us under his arms and is committed to getting us home is true. It may not be fun. It may not be the way that we would have liked it or intended it. But he can get us through. That's what we looked at yesterday. Do you know God? Are you able to make a difference? Yes, I am. But this week's question is slightly different. Okay, I get God, you know, and you're able to make a difference, that you're huge. I get that now. But now that I've seen how big you are, the question that I've got is, do you really care about the detail of my particular situation? Verse 27, do you see, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? That's the thing, do you know? But then the next question, my cause is disregarded by my God. Do you care about the situations that I face? I mean, surely my concerns are just too small for you to worry about when you're able to have control over the nuclear arms program of North Korea. Do you care about the detail of my situation when I'm thinking, which job do I take, or will I ever get a job, or I'm finding it hard to make friends, or which school do I send my children to, or how can I forgive this person at church? And I'm thinking, will I be able to keep going as a Christian in the face of this situation? Do you care about those little things when you're the creator God of the whole world? That's the kind of question that we come back to in these last few verses. And as we look at them, we're reminded of the reason why we face these struggles day by day. We're reminded of the help that we can get in the middle of these struggles. And we're told how to get it. So that's the three things we're going to look at. The reasons we face this struggle, the help we need for the struggle, and how we get it. Firstly then, the reason we face these struggles, and it's there on those sheets that you've got, if you've got them open, the first point there, we have a weakness that we can't deny. And I start here because as soon as we leave this place this weekend and get in the car and turn on the radio and look at the posters, everything around us is going to tell us, you need to be strong. Never say that you're a struggling person. If someone asks you how you are, you've got to say, I'm fine. That's the British thing to do. And yet we're reminded here that we're weary people. Have a look down at verse 29. Well, look from verse 28. It talks about God and says, he will not grow tired or what? Weary. Thank you. Someone's listening. Verse 30, even youths grow tired. Verse 29, he gives strength to who?
Weary.
The weary. He increases the power of who? The weak. Verse 30, even youths grow tired and weary. Verse 31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow what?
Weary.
Do you see the point that's coming out here? There's a weariness, there's a weakness that Christians have to admit that we have. And until we recognize that we have that weakness, we'll never come to the right place for strength. Do you see? Society says power and not weakness is the thing that I need to keep telling myself. And I've written, I think on the sheet, there are three examples of how we see that. I think you've got brains, bodies, and what's the third one? Does it say bling? I don't think that's really what I meant. I think I meant bucks. So you can change that. Brains, body, and bucks. You see, the world will say, won't it, if you study enough, if you've got a powerful enough brain, if you've gone to the right uni and the right school, then you'll have life sorted. Everything will be fine. The society will say, if you get fit enough and strong enough and you've got a powerful enough body, you get to the gym enough, then people will leave you alone. No one will mess with you. Society will say, if you get rich enough, if you've got enough bucks in your wallet, well, then you'll be okay in the end. After all, Madonna taught us, didn't she? We've got to be material girls in a material world. That's what we know we've got to do. But we know, as we think about everyday life, that that isn't true. if we have powerful brains, does that sort our life out? Have we got any students here? I know we have. Thank you for acknowledging your presence. I appreciate that. And, you know, you're walking around campus or hospitals, wherever it is you happen to walk around, and do you find students here or people who are studying here that those places are places of peace and tranquility and happiness and zero stress? Is that what you find? No, it isn't what you find, is it? And those of you, I'm looking around now for people with powerful bodies, and God, thank you for volunteering, Rian. We may not look like we have powerful bodies, but you know, London life, getting up every day, getting on the tube, whatever you have to do, it's pretty draining, isn't it? There are many of us here who spend a lot of the day looking after young children, for example, and that is one of the most draining. When I have to do that, I just think, get me back to work, please. It's so exhausting. I can't even see Leisha here, but she's carrying two people around all day. She can't even put the other person down, you know? It's hard, isn't it? And for those of you who are in that situation, do you get to the end of the day and do you think to yourself, ah, sorted. Life is easy because I'm so strong. I've got so much endurance. I can keep going to the end. It's going to be easy. Is that what you think? One no over there. Maybe the rest of you, it's more easy. No, of course it isn't, is it? And then what about money in your pocket? Does that bring us comfort? Does that bring us security that we're going to make it in life to the end? Well, I'm at the moment really reeling from the reality of someone I only met 6 months ago, someone who works for the Christian Medical Fellowship, which I'm involved in sometimes. And this guy was a new person who came to work there. And he's the same age as me. And he's got the same number of children that I have. And that's three, just so that you, I do remember how many I've got. And he's got the same number of kids as me. They're the same age as me. We've been married the same amount of time. He had his wedding anniversary just 2 weeks ago. I had mine just on Tuesday was our wedding anniversary. Same number of years married. And just a couple of weeks ago, he was diagnosed with an incurable cancer, which means that he will probably be dead by Christmas. And just, at the same time this was happening, he just got this new job. He's not in any way an arrogant or boastful man. He just got this new job, which meant, you know, a promotion and more money and so on. He wasn't greedy about that, but has more money in his wallet meant that he's going to make it to the end because he's got it? No, not at all. It means nothing in the end. Do you see? And the truth is, although I've given you those examples, I'm sure as you just look around St. Peter's Church, you'll know that this is true, that it doesn't matter how clever you are or how strong you are or how much money you have in your pocket, the tough times that we face each and every day in life, they just don't go away because of any of those things. And the longer we live, the more obvious that just becomes for us. And the Bible, I think this bit of the Bible wants to remind us by using that word, those words weary and weak again and again, that the sooner we recognize that that is the kind of place that we're in, the sooner we'll run to the person who can give us help. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 11 verse 28, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Do you see that the reality that we all face is this weakness? We cannot make it to the end on our own. And the solution that we find from Isaiah chapter 40 is strength. Strength that comes from the Lord alone. Have a look at verse 29. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, what does this strength mean? Have I put a verse from Psalm 84 on your sheet? There's a verse there that in a sense, is a picture of a similar sort of thing that we've been looking at in Isaiah 40. It's a picture of a people on pilgrimage, and they're on pilgrimage to Zion. Do you remember yesterday we talked about how God is taking us to Zion, the place where he dwells? And this verse is really helpful because it says the people go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. It's a picture of energy for the journey, strength to strength, until each appears before God in Zion. It's a picture of God giving strength for the journey. Energy for the journey, like when you're in a marathon race, and there are those guys who hold out the bottles of Lucozade at the side of the road, and you grab one and swig it down, and it helps you to keep going on the journey. Except although our journey is much like a marathon, this strength, this energy that we get for the journey is far better than a bottle of Lucozade. Have a look at verse 30 and see what God says about it. Verse 30 of Isaiah 40. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. And that word young men, you need to know, is talking about the kind of men who get selected to perform in the Olympic Games. That's the type of person that it's got in mind. The people who get picked out as the best. People remember men of particular ability in the Olympics. Shout one out for me, Rian. Usain Bolt, of course. Others?
No.
Mo Farah, absolutely. Anyone else? Oh, well, women, we will accept a woman. Thank you. Ennis, absolutely. So look, here are some people who are pretty strong by the world standards. These are people who would be picked out to run in the Olympic Games, wouldn't they? And even these people at the peak of their physical fitness, at the top of their game, they won't be able to complete this journey on their own. They will not be able to do it. The point is, what we need is energy from the Lord. And in verse 31, we get three little pictures of exactly the type of energy that we get from the Lord. So let me read again from verse 29 so we get the logic. It's God who gives strength for the weary, who increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. You see, we can't do it on our own. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And here are the three things. They will fly, they will run, and they will walk. Do you see? They will soar on wings like eagles, they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. And I think each of those things helps to expand what this strength actually looks like. So let's look at each one in turn. Firstly then, they will fly. That image of an eagle, of eagle's wings, is a picture in the Bible of divine strength. We see it in Ezekiel chapter 1, Revelation chapter 4. It's a picture of divine strength. And it's a reminder to us that this strength that we get is not us sprouting wings and flying, but a strength that is outside of ourselves from God. Some of you may have seen a heart transplant operation. Don't worry if you haven't, I'm going to explain a little bit. Heart transplant operation, you're sitting in the operating theatre, and what happens is they stop the person's heart. That's what they do. Most scary moment in any operation I've ever seen, because the heart is beating there inside the person's chest, and they stop it. And at that point, they connect the person effectively to something called a heart bypass machine. So suddenly, their heart is not doing the work anymore. This person outside of themselves is doing all the work. Do you see? Lifeless, if you like, but the bypass machine is doing everything. And that's the picture that we've got here. Another person is doing the work. It's divine help that is outside of yourself completely. Another person lifts us up and carries us, and it's the Lord himself. We will fly if we have this strength. Do you see? The second thing, though, is that we will run. It says in verse 31, they will run and not grow weary. And that word run only actually occurs two other times in the whole book of Isaiah. And both times, it's a picture of not just running on a journey, but of being magnetically drawn to a destination, of being magnetically drawn to the end, to a destination. It's to remind us that this God, who provides energy from outside of ourselves, is not like a Lucozade bottle that will run out. You know, if I'm running a marathon, one bottle of Lucozade will not do the job. So 10 bottles of Lucozade wouldn't do the job. But the picture is that this strength that is outside of ourselves will draw us absolutely to the end. It will get us to the finish line. I was so thankful the day when the rain began to clear and the ferry came into view as I was driving back from France to London. And then you get off the ferry and you're driving on the motorway, and suddenly you're off the motorway onto familiar London roads, and then you're off the familiar London roads onto your street, and you can switch off the engine finally and you're home. You're there. The journey's over. You haven't run out of petrol. You've had everything you need. And the picture is that this strength will get us absolutely to the end, to the moment when we meet Jesus Christ face to face. We will run right to the end with this strength that he provides. And then finally, this image, they will walk and not be faint. And I wonder if this is pointing us towards the fact that we will have strength to keep living the way that God wants us to live in the Christian life as we're going towards the end. We will walk in the ways of the Lord, if you like. We live for God. We get this language in Isaiah 42 particularly. In other words, strength to keep living for Jesus. So those times when, you know, you're at the school gate and as hard as it is, as you struggle, you manage to say something about Jesus, or in the workplace, you manage to keep living a distinctive Christian life. The idea that as you're lifted up, taken to the end, you're given the energy you need just to keep going in being a Christian, living for him, saying the things that Jesus teaches us to say, living the way he teaches us to live. There's a woman called Megan Vogel. She's 17 years old. And just in June, I don't know if you've heard of her, just in June this year, she was running a race in Ohio, 3,200-meter race. I didn't know they even ran that distance race, but that's what she was running. And she was on the last lap of this race. And ahead of her was a woman called Arden McMath. And Arden McMath was a champion at this distance. In fact, she'd just run another race and won it about an hour before. And she was running this race, and for some reason, on the final stretch, she collapses. To this day, she doesn't quite know why. Physically, she should have had the energy and the endurance to do it, but she collapses on the track. And there is Megan Vogel running up, and the obvious thing for her to do is just pass on by and get to the finish line. But Megan Vogel runs up to Arden, picks her up in her arms, and carries her to the finish line and lifts her across ahead of herself. And this is the picture that we get here in these verses of the kind of strength that God provides. When we feel completely unable to make it to the end, God lifts us up and carries us in his arms to the end. And you know, Megan, as she's been plastered all over the papers and so on afterwards, and as you read her story and all that she'd done, she said, well, look, in my family, from as long as I can remember, we put Christ and his values first. She did that because she was copying the very person that we read about here. The one who says, I will give strength to those who are weary, who realize that they cannot make the spiritual journey of life on their own. It's the Lord who gives strength. And so what should we do then? We know that we ourselves have a weakness that we can't deny. We need this strength that comes from the Lord, a strength from outside ourselves that will get us to the end, that will help us to keep living for God. What do we need to do? We need to hope in the Lord. So verse 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Well, that word hope is a word that in the original isn't a word of a one-off sort of hope. So it doesn't mean that if you're here and you're a Christian and I kind of hope in the Lord that I can switch off now because I've got nothing to do. It's a hope that keeps on going day in, day out, again and again. And I put, again, three words there that I hope will help us to see what this hope looks like day to day. Turn, trust, and tell. So the first one then, this hope in the Lord, means turning to Him. It means turning from trusting in ourselves to trusting in Jesus Christ. That's how it starts, this hope. It says there in verse 30, to remind you again, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. We cannot make this spiritual journey on our end. It doesn't matter how powerful our minds are, or our bodies are, or our wallets are. We cannot make this spiritual journey on our own. But Jesus Christ says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will provide the strength that you need to get to the end. Jesus Christ, you see, He's the ultimate strong man. He's the Lord over all. And He stepped into our weakness. In fact, He took on all of the weakness of our sin and our rejection of Him, all of our inability to do what God wants. And on the cross, He took all of that on our behalf and rose again in strength. And as He rises again in strength, we have the opportunity to share in His strength, if you like, by being connected to Him. We have the ability to be part of the strength that He has, death beaten, sin forgiven, future guaranteed, if we will only turn to Him. So can I say, if you're here and you haven't yet put your trust in the Lord Jesus, will you run to Jesus Christ, the one who can provide strength for the weary, strength to get us to the end? I had a really hard conversation with my mum just the other day, who talks in this kind of way. She says, look, I've got my own God. I really need to go to church. I don't need to do things in a particular way because I know God. He knows me. I can talk to Him anytime I like. And I have to say to her that isn't the God that we meet in the Bible, because the God who we meet in the Bible says, come to me, come to Jesus Christ. Because the journey starts by knowing that you're forgiven, and it carries on by keeping on relying on Him. And I guess for us as believers here, we do that by continually doing what we're doing just now, I guess, by coming to His Word and committing to reading it, by talking to Him in prayer, by saying every day, I can't do this on my own. I need you, Lord God. Even as we fail and make mistakes, turning back to Christ, fixing our eyes on Him, the Lord, and asking Him to help us. That's the first one, that we turn to Him. The second is this, that we trust. And by trust, I mean trusting in the Lord's time scale, by trusting in His time scale. It says in the text there, doesn't it, in verse 28, that the Lord is an everlasting God. Do you see in verse 28, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. In other words, if He's the everlasting God, His time scale works slightly differently to our time scale, doesn't it? When another preacher called Dick Lucas was speaking on this bit of the Bible, he points us to the story of Ruth. See, in the story of Ruth in the Bible, we hear of a widow who has lost everything and has to move to an unfamiliar place, to a job that she hasn't been trained for on the minimum wage, and in the end of the story marries a man called Boaz. But we see in that book that none of those things were really the most important thing that God had in store for this woman, Ruth. Ruth had a son, and that son had another son, and that son had another son who was King David, and one of his descendants would be Jesus Christ. But you see, for Ruth, as she went through her life, she would have not known any of that. As she lost her husband, as she moved to another country that she knew nothing about, as she took a job that she wasn't even trained for, she worked on the minimum wage, not knowing what the future would bring. She knew none of that, but God, in His time scale, intended that she would be part of the family tree of Jesus Christ. We may never know quite what He's doing through the events that He puts in our life, but rest assured that He is the everlasting God. And let us trust in His time scale. So we turn, we trust, and then we tell. And by telling, I guess I mean a couple of things. I mean that we tell God the truth about how we feel, and we tell ourselves the truth about God. We tell God the truth about how we feel, and we tell ourselves the truth about God. You see, it's interesting that in verse 27, it's clear that God knows precisely how his people are going to be feeling. As he says, look, why do you say my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? He knows precisely how they're going to be feeling. And elsewhere in the Bible, for example in the Psalms, it's clear that God allows us to speak to him about the things that we are struggling with. So in Psalm 42, God says, the psalmist says, why have you forgotten me, God? He's honest with God about how he's feeling. And so we can do the same. We don't have to feel that trusting in God, hoping in him, means we can't be honest about the struggles and difficulties that we face as we go through life. And yet at the same time, we tell ourselves the truth about God, which is exactly what happens, for example, in Psalm 42. He says, why have you forgotten me, God? And at the same time, he says, hope in God. And I take it that the Lord could have just put one sentence pretty much for the whole of Isaiah 40. He could have just written, I am strong and I love you. Next chapter. He could have done that, couldn't he? I take it that the fact that he spent 31 verses telling us, I am strong and I love you, means that we need to keep banging our heads with the same truth again and again. We need to see it writ large in technicolor to keep believing it. And so, you see, we need to do that. We need to tell ourselves the truth about God. And we can use one another to do that as well, can't we? Just as we did last night in that incredible session of testimony that we had. It's hard to do it if you just live on your own in a kind of isolated way. But as we share together the truths about God, we can encourage one another to keep going. Tell ourselves tell God about how we feel and tell ourselves the truth about God. That is how we hope in the Lord. So we come to that question that we started with. Does God care? Are my issues too small for him? Well, according to this last bit of Isaiah, no they're not, because he is the God who gives strength to the weary, those who feel like they're at the end of their tether, that they can't make it even through another day. He's the one who gives strength to them. And what would it look like if you're hoping in the Lord? What will it look like? I guess it will look like perseverance. It will just look like being able to get up and face another day saying, I want to keep believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess that's what it will look like in practice. Just a few years ago now, I put the phone down and had just had one of the hardest conversations I've ever had in my whole life with someone in my family. And they'd effectively said, look, I don't want to know you. I don't want to speak to you again. I put the phone down and I turned to Rachel. I remember vividly, we were just there in the kitchen, just feeling like my whole world had kind of just collapsed around me. And we just sat down at the table and we prayed. Just asked God for help. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what the future held. And it was a dark time. But I'm so grateful to God that even in that moment, he was giving me strength. Strength to just keep trusting in him, even in the mess and struggle of that situation that I faced. And I think that's what hope in the Lord looks like, just perseverance. Just getting up another morning and saying, I want to keep trusting in you. Does he care? Are our issues too small? No, they're not. He's the God who gives strength for the weary. Let's bow our heads and pray. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the reminder that the spiritual journey that you set us on through our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is not one that we can complete on our own, and that with you we have all the energy we need to make it to the end, to make it home to heaven, and to keep living for you day by day, week by week, hour by hour, minute by minute. And we pray, Heavenly Father, please, would we keep day by day turning and trusting in Jesus Christ, in looking to you for the strength that we need. And as we've been reminded a couple of times already this weekend, we pray too that we would be like the man who stands on the hill, the high mountain, and proclaims to others, both within the church and without it, here is your God, and encourages them to keep turning to him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.